Five, six, seven, eight. And one. What's that? Do you do that? That clicking thing? And a one, two.
No,
three,
I can't.
Four.
What is that?
Classic.
So contemporary.
One, two, three.
Yeah.
Four,
we do lots
five,
of
sh- six,
and a katan.
Sue goes boom ching. I've never
heard of the boom ching.
Boom ching.
That's
amazing.
Yeah.
Hello, lovely listeners, and welcome to the Dance Futures podcast, the podcast that discusses dance as a way of life with people who've made it central to theirs. I'm your host, Dr. Ruth Pethybridge, self-confessed dance geek. I hope you enjoyed that little snippet of the conversation that you're going to hear more of later. And if you've got any noises that you make or your dance teachers make, your contemporary noises, please feel free to send me a little voice note with them on. I think it's a brilliant, hilarious niche little bit of knowledge there that we all probably recognise, those of us that are actively dancing and teaching. I would really like to say a massive thank you to any listeners who have given me a bit of feedback these past few editions, because it honestly means the world. This is a passion project. It's entirely my baby. I have one of my babies sitting next to me at the kitchen table, another one upstairs, and this is my third. So yeah, it's a love child of the pandemic, I guess, in a way, and wanting to keep meaningful conversations up about dance. This month, because it's February and Valentine's Day happens, there's a little nod to the theme of love. I think we use it as an analogy for often how we fall in love with dancing, and probably many artists are familiar with that feeling that drives you to want to do something, which is described as love. And the flip side of that, obviously, is when you fall out of love with it, or when you've worked so hard at it you forget about what that love felt like. And so that's the discussion of this month's episode, Love, Hate and Dancing. And joining me is dancer, performer, aerialist, facilitator and teacher Grace Selwood, who runs Free Fall Dance and Off the Wall Aerial down here in Falmouth, Cornwall. So there's quite a lot of local love and knowledge in this month's episode, but I think there'll be something in it for everyone. Enjoy.
We are here round the table. It's a round table, except it's a rectangle. I'm sure many people have made that joke before. But yeah, we're having a little round table for the February edition with, I'm going to call you a local legend, Grace.
Local legend, I'll take it.
And I'm saying that partly because I feel like you like almost single-handedly uphold an amazing amount of community dance practices and classes and events and people, like facilitating people to be able to move on a regular basis in this local area. And I just, yeah, really celebrate that.
Thanks, Ruth. That's really touching.
Aww. And we've got Robin and we've got Luca.
Hi.
Hello.
And it's Sunday afternoon, so we're not on the espresso, we're on the tea.
We're winding down.
That was a really good radio voice.
Do you know what? I watched a... Can I... Product placement? Pucker T advert. Have you seen the nighttime one?
If you're interested in sponsorship, Pucker T.
We're down. It's the most relaxing advert I've ever watched. And
How
I will...
Can an advert be relaxing?
No, Grace. I'm going to need you to watch it. I'll send it to you later. Right. It's so relaxing. It's their nighttime tea. And every time I'm like, oh, and then the next advert's like, have you? I'm like, oh, back again.
That's a bad advert if you don't even need to buy the product to feel
relaxed. No, that's
just,
true.
Just get the advert.
Yeah.
That is
true.
YouTube it. Oh, another product placement.
Oh, yeah. It's fine. Grace, can you tell us a little bit about what you do? Like, if someone asks you, what do you do? Like me, here and now? Or just somebody maybe that you don't know very well. Do you have a like standard response that you're like, how am I going to explain the like daily life of someone who does so many different things?
And it's exactly that. I go, how am I going to explain this in a nutshell without them being bored? So I'm primarily a dancer and performer. That's why I feel like it's where my heart and soul is.
Yeah.
Although, straight away I've gone into like this... discussion rather than a list of things I do. I am also a teacher, associate lecturer at the uni, and I'm artistic director of Freefall Dance, which is my soul place as well, where we do a lot of dance classes for community and professionals, and events all based down here, and I love it. I'm also so dancer. Let's ad lib. Dancer, aerialist, teacher. I used to be a Pilates instructor. Used to, still am. Take a sabbatical.
That's it. Great. What an amazing. Nailed it. An amazing list. And also what you brought up there though, which is really useful, because I thought, because it's February and it's the month of Valentine's, and that is a kind of can be a bit of a like weird conflicted time for people depending on various statuses in their lives, that we might talk a little bit about love, and you said that's where my heart and soul is, and we might talk a little bit about the conflicted relationship that we often have with this thing called dancing that we love but also can be tricky. So yeah, it's really good that you mentioned heart in there. I'm super curious when you say aerialist, could we just like hold that thought for a second? So like how does that manifest itself? What do you do, and like how did you get into that? What is that even?
It's a bit of a weird journey really. It just happened kind of. I didn't know anything about aerial or much about it, but it got to a point in my dance career where I was like, what else can I do that's dancing but a little bit different? And how can, because I have the, I don't know if whether you guys have this, but you have dreams when you can, and you're like, I'll do that when I'm in the studio tomorrow, and then you realize you can't.
I regularly tell myself that if I got up out of bed right there and then, I could do a backflip. I just think,
oh
I
my
could.
Goodness, wow, I'm like, am I really lazy? Because I never have had that thought.
Luke, no, you're not lazy.
No, I just mean, I just mean like I'm lying in bed, I'm not thinking about
it. Do you know what? That's for my aim.
I love that, but you recognise that experience.
Yeah.
So but mine's more like hovering off the floor or like on completely upside down somehow. And then I saw some workshops being advertised, and then people were just saying, oh, you should do like bungee, or you should do vertical wall, and I was like, what are these things? So I had a little look, and I just put myself onto a two-day workshop with Wired Aerial Theatre, went up to London, completely fell head over heels in love with bungee dance, and then a sort of transpired to go into more harness-based stuff, because I feel like what I love about aerial is the disciplines I do is usually in harnesses rather than, although I have dabbled in hoop and sling, but the main thing is harnesses, because I feel like if you're supported by your pelvis, you're freer. So in bungee, you're attached at the back. So if you send your body forwards, you have moments of flight as you come back, and you have moments of where you can explore different rounds of the 360 with different sensations.
Amazing.
Also, in a nutshell, I'm a bit of an adrenaline junkie.
I
can see that.
Yeah, and I just, you know, thinking about abseiling off high buildings and then dancing on those walls makes me go,
And I can see that in that desire, that thing of like, oh, how could I do this thing that I love, do this thing that I love, this dancing, but do it like one step more, or or sort of take
like
it to the
possible?
Next level, like what's possible. Can I do here, what can a body do, what can I do.
Also, I don't want to jump ahead in your, but obviously we've been taught by you, don't tell anyone, but you were always my favourite. Apart from, obviously, Ruth, love you. But in terms of the technique and the physical movement classes, like, there were no classes that I felt like I flew in as much as yours. And I don't know, like, I suppose everyone has something that just falls really well in their body, and that was your teaching was always like, I was like, oh, this is when dance and me like really find an amazing place. And but I can see how like the way that you're describing that range of movement and like finding that new possibility, the way that you teach, and it's always that full range of movement, and I can see how you'd be like, right, so I'm here, how do I just keep going? How, what if I was on the wall doing it, like completely upside down? And that just makes total sense as a progression in your, I suppose, your own training, but then like to teach and to make. Makes total sense.
I think that stems from me as a person, and my heart and soul is like that. It's full life and full heart of the party sort of person. And I guess if I go back to heart and soul sort of thing that I was chatting about earlier, or slightly chatting, that is where my practice sort of lies. And I always say in my classes as much as possible, is like, don't forget the reason why you're dancing. Because sometimes, and then this is something that I could talk about for hours, is about when you decide to go into dance training, how do you keep the joy and love and passion alive? Because it can feel that you start hating it after a while, or you go through this sort of, my favourite word, undulations.
What a word. Let's just say that again, everyone, all together now.
Undulations.
Say it every Monday night. But you do, you go through peaks and troughs.
Yeah.
Maybe not so eloquent with that one. Peaks and troughs of loving, hating, moving.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's why when you push yourself, push your limits, it's about exploring, and it's about rekindling or kindling further or reigniting something, that the reason why you did that, rather than going, let's pull back and find that technical blah, 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 which is important.
Yeah.
But yeah.
Oh, I think your class is always, because you teach second years, right?
Yeah.
Mostly.
Yeah.
And I think that always comes at a really important time when you've done like nearly a year and a half of quite intense technical training, and then to have this real burst of your energy and joy in like just enjoy it. If not anything else, just enjoy it and just find that. And that really comes across in the way that you teach and sort of carry yourself as a dance facilitator.
Oh, that's really great, because I feel, and that comes from being an observer as well, because I think watching dance or a dancer perform is more interesting when you can see their journey or seeing them enjoying something, rather than it being kind of like a blanket sort of state.
Yeah.
I think there's something really special in that, so I really try and applaud that.
Yeah. And I think you know you use that terminology of like, I fell head over heels in love with aerial work, you know. And there's that kind of that thing that hooks you in, and then that process that you go through. Like, I think my closest relationship to that, although I've had it many years ago, would be sort of Argentine tango.
Please teach me.
We will do that, Grace.
Yes.
We're gonna make that happen. But so fine, going to, I traveled to South America, and I was like a bit like, when in Rome, you know, I'll take some classes, I'm in Buenos Aires, you know. Totally not expect, in the way that when you fall in love, you're not expecting it,
right?
So I took a go, I was like, I'm a dancer, went in Rome, better do it. Had a go, have a few goes. And I went to the social dances and saw how that kind of operated. And it just became like an obsessional love affair. And I was, you know, just kind of drunk on it and obsessed with the next time I was going to be able to dance it. And you just get into this kind of, it is. It's really obsessional. And the group that I used to dance with in Oxford were called Tangueros Anonymous, because it was like, you would be like going there, like, I need my fix of this thing.
Yeah.
And it was, you know, it's definitely like the sort of serotonin of movement and make it, you know, feeling joyful in that. But it was also this really super close connection, physical connection that you have in tango, that you'd find this kind of intimacy, which I think dance can give sometimes in quite a specific way. Is this way to be intimate with other people without the complexity of actual relationships, you know, like you can kind of really find that.
That's how me and Robin met.
Yes!
And
we fell in love.
We fell in love.
I love how some listeners might be like slightly confused about it.
So confused.
If they listen, anyone who's listened all the way through will be like, what actually is going on?
We're lovers.
Should we tell the people? We had, it was a post-Christmas warm-up welcome back class, mm-hmm. and we did contact improv, and there was just like a, we get on really well.
Yeah, it was like really, because I found contact improv, I mean, I'm sure everyone does, it can be so awkward sometimes, mm-hmm. and not, it doesn't really, whether it's like, you on the day, or whether it's just the environment, or whether maybe, you know, sometimes you just don't like gel with people, you know, for whatever reason. But yeah, we just like were in it, and it was
magical. For the record, I'm 6'1" and you are
5'5"
If you were to have a lineup of people that like, oh yeah, they will move together.
Yeah, you
just
wouldn't.
No.
But it was so good.
Sometimes.
Even Colditt was like, okay.
Yeah.
Yeah. I bet Robin was flying you around.
Yeah.
I don't actually.
One finger.
Yeah.
I was like a plate.
I just remember it being like really. Also, kind of, it can feel really emotional, like we're talking about that love and that. Yeah, that sort of, it's a romantic feeling with dance sometimes, and even with a person sometimes you're like, wow, we were so connected. You come out of it and you're like, okay, see ya. That's kind of weird. It was really good. It was a really great way to meet, and we hadn't even spoken before.
No,
then.
Not once. I wasn't even really sure who you were.
Yeah, and I was there during your first magical.
It's a beautiful story.
Do you use improvisation in your work with, when you're working in classes and with mixed abilities? I know you have kind of lots of different sort of people from different walks of life and ages, and coming to the free fall classes here in Falmouth and Cornwall. Is improvisation part of what you do, or do you find that you have to be quite kind of structured? How do you like hold that space for those moments
really
of discovery?
Interesting
or...
question. I think I tend to generally start a class with what, instead of calling it improvisation, I always call it playtime.
Mm-hmm. Perfect.
Because I think there's so many connotations that people, it's like improvisation, gonna be on my own. But and I use that play in a way that I try and make people feel at ease and connected within the room. So it could be as simple as actually this was pre-pandemic as well, staying 2 meters apart from people.
I know that was so wild, right, when that instruction came out, and we were like, hold on, we've been doing this for years, like what is going on?
That's brilliant. And then was it the other week, because I co-teach with Charlotte on a Monday, and she did a version of Granny's Footsteps based in dance. We just pull on some classic play games and sort of go, okay, how can we make this into movement? And as long as people are sweating and laughing at the end of the first like 15-20 minutes, then we're golden.
Perfect.
Because then everyone just goes, oh, I don't have to stand facing one direction and see everyone else and are they better than me or should I be here? Everyone feels like on a sort of level. And we always preach with free fall, I think there's a couple of mantras, but one of them is, doesn't matter if it goes wrong, you're dancing, that's all that matters. We're all here for the joy of moving, and as long as you leave the room afterwards feeling either like you've achieved something or with a smile on your face, then I feel like I've done my job.
You definitely have. definitely have, yeah. So I want to do a little dance geek interjection here.
Ruth has opened the book.
Hello, the book is coming out. So the book that I have today is called The Grand Union, Accidental Anarchists of Downtown Dance. So Grand Union were a group of improvisers who were sort of grew out of Judson Church in New York in the 1970s. And I feel like Judson gets a lot of airtime in terms of dance history, but we hear less about Grand Union, perhaps.
And they were like, it was very much about not having a strategy. And so I just want to read you this bit, partly because it made me laugh, and then there's another bit that relates to what you said. So this is by Wendy Perron. Well, I have no idea who that is, but you can Google her.
Cheers, Wendy.
Thank you.
So she writes, the Grand Union is still the best improvisation group around, and there are still those moments that stun you by being so utterly in the present. On Sunday, Gordon had got himself standing on a chair, slowly revolving as he told a story of himself as a bedwetting adolescent who joined the circus. The narrative seemed unconnected to anything else going on until he eventually directed it to the moment at hand. I love having hundreds of people watch me turn around on top of this chair. This is the best moment of my life. But moment gives way to moment, and exhilaration gives way to misery. How long will you let me go on like this? You're making me turn around on this chair. This is the worst moment of my life.
So that's amazing.
Yes, I wanted to drop that one in there in relation to the kind of love and hate, which we might, so we might talk about that in a little bit, how that adrenaline can turn into kind of fear and that kind of switch. She goes on, Yvonne Rayner, who was a founder and strong influence on the group, has written that one must take a chance on the fitness of one's own instincts. Part of this means an instinct for play, which is what you were just talking about, Grace, which might loosely be defined as non-goal-orientated exploration. Most of the Grand Union members have children, and I see evidence of that influence in their ability to play. They even use the word pretend, Gordon said. We were pretending to be chickens mating, and I resent your calling it dancing. Gordon is a dude. Let's pretend that magical gateway to endless delights for children. But a phrase that has been dropped from the adult vocabulary. Instincts can also mean learned abilities. The instinct that improvising requires includes knowing when to let go of an action and when to forge ahead, when to claim the focus and when to give up, and what proportion of personal wishes and fears to lay bare. So I really liked the connection to what you were saying about play and about how as adults we often forget how important that is, or even just it's hard to make space for, and I think we feel guilty for making space for it sometimes. I said the royal we there, I'm blatantly talking about myself. But when you're like a working mum, you know, that kind of going, it's okay for me to have some playtime, it's quite a hard acknowledgement.
That's when the interesting stuff happens.
Yeah, right?
Yeah.
But I also really like this description of this kind of high that he's on. Gordon.
Oh, yeah.
David Gordon. That he's on this high on this chair turning around, like, this is amazing, this is the best moment of my life, and how quickly that rug can kind of be pulled out from under you. Mm. And I feel like that's in love and in dancing. And I guess, yeah, like thinking about that that relationship. Do you guys have that experience of going, ah, I hate this, or like, I don't want to do this anymore? Or do you get that, Grace? You're like, yes.
Sometimes daily, sometimes weekly, sometimes yearly. But
what pulls you back in?
Because, oh no, this is going to sound really like meh. Because it's because that's who I am.
Yeah.
Oh, it sounds
no,
so
but you're
bad,
talking to a table full of dancers.
I know, absolutely, because I can't think of anything I'd rather do.
Yeah.
And the feeling of performing is addictive, mm-hmm. with the adrenaline rush and that those endorphins, and also in terms of the effect it can have on other people, I feel like is a really strong thing, and why would I not want to continue it?
So what makes you feel the thing when you're like, oh, is it just the exhaustion of the...
Oh, it could be a lot of different things. Exhaustion is one thing I can pull myself through.
Yeah.
It's probably not a good thing.
Pushing
to rest.
Yeah.
But I think a lot, recently it's funding. And being able to find the money to continue projects, which can be quite exhausting in itself. The feeling of not being good enough and then going, oh, bow out now, someone else take my place. The feelings of, oh my goodness, what else could be happening? I don't know. Things like that.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's really recognisable that, that sort of the treadmill of the funding and the time and energy that you put into that, and it's kind of the amount of structures that you have to create in order for that playtime to happen.
Yeah, sometimes. And then by the time you get there, you don't, you're like, yeah. What am I doing? Yeah. I'm meant to be creative now?
Yeah, yeah.
Right, okay.
Yeah, yeah, exactly.
Yeah, but I think the feeling of moving and dancing outweighs that. And it's like, oh, this sounds a bit horrible as well, but it's like if you break an arm or something and it's ridiculously painful at the time, and then a couple of years down the line, you can't remember the pain.
Yeah.
Or, you know, it's the same thing, like when you, if and when you get the funding, a few months later, you're like, oh, that wasn't so bad.
Yeah.
Or the same with, oh, I don't feel like I'm really achieving what I want to achieve. Why isn't my body doing this? And then a couple of months down the line, you're like, oh, it's fine.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I think it's that. You sort of...
Perspective and... change, I guess, being open to those feelings, not dictating a like entire reaction to reject the whole thing because you're feeling that way, but being able to kind of roll with it, move with it, like accept those shifting feelings about it.
Yeah,
I guess,
and allow yourself to get excited about things again.
Yeah,
because sometimes we forget and we get stuck in this sort of round, I said round robin, but that's not the right term. What's it, the treadmill of the monotonous.
Yeah.
And you go through your weekly schedule and you're like, this is happening, and you don't realise, and you sit back and reflect and go, actually, these are amazing things that are happening.
Yeah.
And really work going, oh, and reflecting. Yeah.
Yeah. So, reflecting. So I think that's it, isn't it? That thing of if you're just like pushing through the whole time, and not sitting back to like process the positive things or to like look at what you've achieved and be like, yeah, you know, then yeah, it's gonna maybe pass you by.
Yeah.
What about you guys? How do you feel about this love-hate thing?
Well, I was thinking about the like adrenaline of performance.
Yeah.
Because, I mean, this isn't dance related, but it's performance related.
Yeah.
But I've just come back from a gig in Bristol. It was Thursday night, and it was my first time, it was my third gig with this band, and in a whole new city. I've got lots of people there, but I'm not from there, I don't live there currently, and I felt the pressure of this venue, don't know who I am. Like, in Falmouth, everyone knows everyone, right? So if I play somewhere, there's going to be someone working there that's like, hey, I know you, like, you know, and there's that sort of connection and support.
Yeah.
But in Bristol, I was like, I really have to show up and I've got to really prove myself, even though they could watch it and I could, it could be a disaster. It wouldn't, because like, how could it be?
Self-belief.
Yeah, sure, right. How could it really go that terribly? Because I'm only doing it because I know that I'm good enough, she says.
Ooh. Yeah,
come on.
You know, you do have to believe in yourself, because otherwise, you know, what are you doing it? Why are you doing it?
Yeah.
But yeah, so I was like, okay, it can't be a disaster, and if I'm not incredibly proud, I get to come out of Falmouth and just run away, so it's fine. I was so nervous, and I still get so nervous. I always did for dance performances at uni, everything. And like, my bandmates that play, you know, they're like really professional guys and they're musicians and they're really well trained. They know their instruments inside out, and it's me and my voice and my lyrics, which feels very exposing. Mm. And they were like, wow, you're nervous. I wish I felt like that. And I was like, what? No. I wish I just could go out and be really confident. And I had this weird feeling of thinking, looking forward to it being done and going, Robin, why are you wishing that away? This is the best bit. Mm-hmm. Like, I love performing. That rush and that, oh my god, it is such an amazing feeling, like really euphoric. I was going, oh, I just can't wait to have a drink when it's done and just get a bit pissed and like, it'll be done and I'll be relieved. Mm. But
I feel like there's a really close, there's like a balance of between fear and adrenaline and excitement.
Right. Yeah.
Fear and excitement. And if you're feeling scared, there's a way you can channel it into excitement.
Yeah.
Because you're putting yourself in that position where something could go completely wrong if you just stop singing.
Yeah, sure.
I know, and that's yeah. That's the thrill, right?
Yeah.
Excitement.
That's the word.
I mean, I didn't make it up, but like it's thrown around because it's that thing of going like, this is like scary and exciting at the same time.
Yeah.
And it's kind of managing. I feel like I get quite confused between the two sometimes, and then I'll be doing things for the wrong reason. But that's a whole other story. But I think there is, yeah, like you say, that thing of like, I think that's part of the weird thrill sometimes is like going on stage and being like, I could just stop
moving.
Yeah. I could just stop and be like, or I could just go, if it's the fear, it could go horribly wrong, but it's also kind of in your control.
Yeah.
So you've got this weird sort of power.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's, yeah.
Can I tell you guys a secret that I've just remembered?
It is a podcast that will be going out publicly. So
listening to this.
Just going to remind you.
Who's out there? No, I just remembered, and I will stop talking in a second, but I used to have this urge. In class, when we do improvisation, I just have this really overwhelming feeling to just do something like completely, just get naked.
Yeah.
Or, do you know what I mean? Like,
yeah, yeah.
This
crazy.
Really scary urge. It was actually quite scary. I thought I might do it and then regret it. But we did this workshop once. These two alumni people came in and they did this workshop with us, and they just sort of went, you just have to go into the space and you just have to just do anything. I can't really remember, but I think it was about anger.
Mm-hmm.
It was quite an intense, it was very emotional, and then we had an assessment afterwards. It was like terribly
turn. Note to self, bad planning. Yeah.
No, but it was actually kind of great because I think we all got this like weird stuff out of our system, but I remembered no one was going in, and suddenly this urge that I'd had for months, and it was really freaking me out, I did it. I didn't get naked.
I didn't.
I should have. I would have regretted that so much. But I just went in and I started screaming about everything that I, didn't like about my body, didn't like about myself. And I was like shouting at dance for making me feel bad. Like I was like, how dare you make me feel? And everyone was just like, oh my, she's doing it. She's really doing this.
Right.
And then, but people came in and they started joining in, and I was like, cool.
Everyone's mad about dance.
Yeah. There you go, love, hate.
Love, hate, absolutely. Yeah. But I think, and little segue into like the last edition where we spoke to Kevin Turner quite a lot about mental health. And these kinds of thoughts are like really normal.
Mm.
It's the same thing as, this is not just me driving along the motorway and going, well, I could just spin the wheel and I would be on the other side, and you know, and these things are things that can become intrusive thoughts and looping kind of patterns that people get really afraid of. And it's sort of normalizing that it's quite human to kind of look at the thing that maybe is the most inappropriate in that context and kind of go, what if, like, what if I did that? It's kind of, that's again, this, it's like there's this choice point there that is about being alive and present to that situation, I guess.
Mm.
And when you're just driving and you're like in that weird pre-reflective mode where you just get somewhere and you don't know where you've been, you're not having that thought. You're not present in what you're doing and in that moment of like control that you have. And I guess that's kind of what we're talking about in the performance as well, right?
Mm.
That kind of slightly knife edge.
Like one quick thing changes everything because you're so in the moment and everyone's eyes on you.
So it's kind of also about being present, right? Which is part of the hook and part of why we all love it. Isn't it? Luca, I feel like you were going to say something. I'm looking. We're all looking at you.
Yeah, I know. Luca, go. Is it quite intense?
Do you feel now like I don't know.
On a knife edge.
On a knife edge.
Which way will I fall? I think in thinking about love and hate with dance, because I'm still in training, my feelings, positive or negative, are like in this little bubble of dance training.
Yeah.
Mm.
And because of the way that I came into dance and the last 2 and a bit years that we've had, sort of the connection to dance performance is probably not as present in my life at the moment.
Yeah.
So the frustrations and the anger is in the training, but so is the love and the passion and the joy.
Yeah.
So that's the kind of context that I experience it at the moment. I mean, one of the things that instantly makes me go, I want to leave the room, is when someone says, like, okay, we're just going to learn a new phrase. Or we're going to learn some rep now. It puts the fear of God in me.
Really?
I'm convinced. I've got better at it.
Yeah.
But especially, you know, coming to uni, convinced that I would just never, ever be able to learn choreography. Ever. And I don't know where that came from, because I had done a lot of acting and physical theatre and had learned physical routines and had learned fairly gestural choreography for musicals, and I could learn words and lyrics and remember lines really quickly. But the idea of being in a class and being put on the spot like that and feeling like there were maybe other people in the class that can see a phrase once and it's just like in their body. I have so much admiration for people whose brains work like that.
Luca, don't worry, on Monday night classes at Freefall at the moment, some of the people that come correct me because I've forgotten.
that's classic teacher. That's a classic teacher experience though. Like, I think that is that thing of like idealizing and that thing that we do of projecting onto other people that they've got their shit together in a way that actually everyone is feeling that in different ways.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, I joined in on your class, didn't I, the other day, and I was like, if he says from the corner, I'm gonna like, because I find it so exposing.
Yeah.
And also as a teacher in that context, who's a teacher being a learner, like, I think that's a really valuable experience for me, but it also feels super exposing, right? Because it's of these silly, not silly, but unnecessary sort of hierarchies that we put on the authority of having to be the person with the knowledge. And therefore, like, if I fuck up in a dance class and fall over, that you lot, when I'm giving a lecture, are going to look at me and be like, I don't know if I want to listen to what she's saying because she fell over and she can't do the rep. Which leads me back round to the ever-present issue that I cannot do the splits. I have never been able to do the splits. And that will always
undermine.
Why is it?
It's
just a thing, isn't it?
It's
just a thing, isn't it? That everyone's like, and when you sit.
Can you do the splits?
And when you sit in second in those classes, and I sit in second, and mine are like, they are nowhere to be seen. I mean,
but
you
that
just
doesn't matter.
But I bet you're so on your sit bones, you're not rocking off. Like,
if you want me to squat, I'm down. Like, my Achilles is so.
But
like,
the bottom line is, you're moving.
Yes, indeed, and I think I guess it's just about these tropes, like these stereotypes. And as I've got older, I've been more able to let go of those and go, I'm taking from this class what I need, and it's not actually about hitting these things. It's about I'm taking from this what I need, and actually that joining in on that class was like so good for me on so many levels, because I haven't been dancing enough, and I was like, hi body. And also like, I'm not totally useless even though I haven't been doing it for ages. And you know, these kinds of horrible thoughts that we have about ourselves, and then kind of
I really think that dancers tend to be quite perfectionists.
I
think it's in our blood, and it's something that I feel like we have to contend with on an everyday basis, not necessarily just in a dance class or performance. It's in everyday, and if you don't feel like you hit your 100%, then it feels like you failed. And I've been going through it. There's a lot. We're trying to get the show on the road called She Who Dares for Off the Wall, and the premises of this is failure.
Okay.
And that if you fail, that means you've put yourself into a place of challenge and of learning.
Yeah.
Mm.
And when, you know, back to when you were saying about your training and love hate, if, you know, that's the place to do it.
Yeah.
It's the place to fail. And then if you go through all your training and don't fall on your bum after a pirouette, then what have you really achieved? You've just stayed here, when actually, if you came in and tried to do quadruple pirouette and you actually nailed it, or you fell on your bum and you get yourself up again and try it again, you're progressing because you're learning. So I'm really passionate about that as well.
Yeah, yeah.
It's like, no, embrace failure.
Yeah.
I think it's
yeah.
really, really important.
Yeah.
Because that's when the growth is. Oh, yeah. Yeah. Quote of the century.
Yeah, but I think it's a run. It is a running theme in all these conversations, I think. And I think that's also... It's something that bears repeating, because it's so important that we let ourselves be less than perfect and just go like, what would happen if I wasn't perfect?
Mm.
Oh, look, the sky hasn't fallen in.
Yeah.
Hey,
yeah.
It's okay. You know, like in life, like that, I find that really powerful. Just be like, there's
some life lessons in
this. So always.
Controversial yet brave.
Love it.
Another thing that I really struggle with, so there's like the technical aspect maybe of like having to learn a phrase or a piece of rap, but then creatively, like forced creativity really puts it actually makes me quite angry.
Yes, this is what I want. Luca, angry. I'm not sure I've ever seen it. Well, I have seen it once actually, when you got invited to do some nude modelling.
You got angry.
Well, because they were just not. There was a whole pay that, you know,
very
it's about value, like
right.
valuing
yeah.
somebody's
okay,
time
yeah.
and energy.
Yeah.
Anyway, sorry.
No,
digress.
No, excellent diversion. That was, no, I think there's a real. It's still a really big problem in the dance industry, where you rock up to a class or a workshop or an audition, and you're expected to come up with like. You've got 10 minutes to create a 16 count phrase and you need to include 1, 2, and 3. I'm like, that just doesn't do it for me. That
yeah.
is the driest thing
yeah.
on the planet.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I am not one of those dancers that can just conjure up movement out
of
thin
nowhere.
Air.
Yeah.
And there are some people who can just feel it in their body, or maybe they've been trained in a way to kind of have certain moves to draw on. So that in the moment, they've plucked out this, what looks like incredibly fantastic, creative 16 count phrase.
But it means nothing.
But it means nothing.
Mm.
And I think like, yeah, that forced creativity and the time pressure, I don't work well under those conditions.
So anyone who'd like to work with Luke in the future, please say no. No, but for real, I think it's a really useful point. And I think, again, when you're under pressure as a teacher, and again, these kind of systems that are in place, like sometimes there's these kind of lazy ways to kind of try to, it's like, okay, we just need to generate material
now. Yeah, yeah,
we're just going to generate material.
It's
and
this...
then maybe the layering happens later. And I do believe that also you can have abstract movement, and that can be created from different kinds of patterning and codes, perhaps. It doesn't all have to sort of have this deep meaning, but I think that's put, yeah, like what you're saying, it's sometimes put onto dancers,
yeah.
and there's that choreographer-dancer sort of distinction and hierarchy again, or teacher-student, to be like, okay, go and make something, and you're just like, okay, what,
yeah.
really?
No.
Like, no.
And I've done it enough times to know that you go and make something, and they say, now do it standing on your head, and it's like, you could have just told me that from the start, I would have done it.
Yeah, yeah,
yeah.
But it sounds like what was lacking from that is you being inspired.
Yeah, exactly.
And that's the whole point of us dancing.
Yeah.
That's what you love, is the inspiration and being inspired and the creativity, rather than being told, you got 16 counts, go.
Yeah.
I'll be like,
yeah, yeah, yeah. And I think only in the last year have I, well, not even last year, maybe like 6 months, have I actually found found something. It's not probably going to be the only thing in my career, but like found something that makes me go, oh, that makes me want to dance.
Yes, follow it.
Yeah.
Mm. And the next time someone's like, this is the task, you go, oh, I heard this, something different, okay.
Yeah.
And you just do your thing.
Yeah.
And they'll be like, how did he do it? And you'll be like, because I didn't do what you said.
Can I go and get my cloak from the changing room, please?
I'll just need my wand. Oh, amazing. I feel like that's maybe a really lovely, magical point to see what I did there. End this conversation on, and even though I could carry on as always forever, and I also wanted to end with this little quote from Lauren Berlant, who's an American female philosopher, and she said, I often talk about love as one of the few places where people actually admit they want to become different.
And so it's like change without trauma, but it's not change without instability. It's change without guarantees, without knowing what the other side of it is. And I just really love that, because I think that a lot of what dance is about is kind of this movement and this change, and like you say, embracing the risks that we take to kind of make it what we do. Because it's, and I'm sure a lot of artists of all forms would recognize that as well. So that passion and love is a huge part of it, but it also, that can mean that you get taken advantage of in, like, in all things that you love. And so there's also, you know, having these boundaries and this willingness to change and kind of staying open. I just really love that. So I'm offering that up to everybody to take away and dance with. And thank you, Grace, so much.
Oh, thanks for having me.
Tell me again the name of the show you mentioned, She Who Dares.
Oh, She Who Dares, yeah.
And that's with
Off the Wall Aerial Dance.
Off the Wall Aerial Dance. So check them out on Instagram. Follow along. Also Freefall Dance and their classes. Locals to Falmouth, you are in for a treat. If you are someone who's just thinking you want more dance in your life, there is where to go for sure. Thank you, Robin. Thank you, Luca.
Thank you.
And Robin, I think, is going to sing us out with a little love song,
oh,
baby.
Oh, my goodness. How exciting.
This song is called Serenade. And it's a love song.
Yeah,
it's
baby.
Valentine's. I hope you like it. A bit nervous. What's wrong with me?
Remember, excitement.
Excitement. Nervous. I'm gonna write a song about that. Okay. Can we lay in the candlelight, eating Turkish delight? 'Cause you know I don't wanna fight when you've got that look in your eyes. Climbing next to me. You know I keep this spot free. You don't have to worry about anything. Maybe we could get some food together. Lie down in the grass together. We could watch the clouds fall past together. And I'll feel so warm next to you. You can hold my hand through the underpass, baby. Kiss me up against the glass, and I won't mind if you grab my ass, 'cause I feel so safe with you. Sipping lemonade under a cherry tree, where you first told me you loved me. If you lose me, you know where to find me. To the left in your chest with my own key.
Hello, me again. If you've liked this episode, please check us out on @DanceFuturesPodcast. Our wonderful Robin can also be found on Instagram too, @RobinAlvarezMusic. That's Robin with a Y, Alvarez, A-L-V-A-R-E-Z, where she'll keep you up to date with all her latest gigs. Since recording this episode, Grace has also been nominated for the Woman in Dance Leadership Award, so a huge congratulations is in order. Very well deserved. That's all for now. Bye.